Let's pray. God, we want to echo Scott's prayer earlier, that our words today would not be my best ideas or Bob's best ideas, but that you would speak today and all of us would listen and learn. God, show us who you want us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and just in an instant you realized, I didn't know who I was dealing with? Like, I didn't know how powerful this person was or how dangerous this person was or whatever it might be. And there's this flip that happens in your mind of like, whoa, I didn't know who I was talking to. And for me, one of those conversations happened. It was actually a fun conversation. It happened about 8 years ago or so, 8 or 9 years ago. My hair was 8 or 9 inches longer. That's pre-Chrissy, how Jake used to look. About 8 years ago, I was living in Mexico, and I was leading this little ministry, this little housing ministry down there, and I was part of a bigger team, and we sat down outside in the heat at night with these little patio chairs, and I was living in a real poor little town in northeastern Mexico, and I was around a bunch of missionaries who, like me, like didn't have a lot of money, and we were talking with this guy who was in visiting us from Iowa, and he just looked like a farmer, you know, didn't have fancy clothes on or anything, but he owned or partially owned like some feedlot stuff up in Iowa, which is a way bigger industry than I realized at the time. And as we're talking about this ministry, we're trying to start the school program with kids, we were going to need to buy another building there in the town we were in and get a team of people and all this stuff. Well, so we're talking over with this guy, and somebody brings up, yeah, we've looked at this property, and we think we could purchase it, but it would cost like $20,000. And the guy says, yeah, that's fine. What else do you need? Like, he just dismissively said, like, yeah, okay. Like, as if he could just reach into his wallet and pull out like a $20,000 bill or something. And I'd never, at that point in my life, or I've not been around anybody like that, I don't think, since either, who could just like drop 20 grand like it was nothing, like as if like that's no big deal, like the bigger deal is finding somebody who wants to work there or something, you know, like that was the bigger issue to him. And I just realized I had no idea how rich this guy was, that he could just handle problems that way, or handle money that way at least. Now, money's not really that big a deal, and money doesn't solve a lot of real problems. I think the guy had some wisdom to see like the people that work there will be a bigger issue than the money. But that conversation, as Bob and I were talking about the passage we're going to read today, it reminded me of that conversation because I didn't know the riches of the person I was talking to. And what we're going to read today, it's a quote from Jesus. And a lot of times we read in the Bible, maybe your Bible's one of those red Bibles that has like all of Jesus' words in red, and you read it and you're like, oh, that's a good idea, or that's a good lesson. What we don't normally think about is the Bible is clear that when God created everything, like, God created through Jesus. Like, Jesus is the ultimate creator, and the way that everything was created was through words. When Jesus said, let there be light, like, that's how light exists. And if you were talking to Jesus today and Jesus said, the sky's purple, and you're like, oh, like, the sky is not purple, and you looked up, like, the sky would now be purple, because that's how like reality works. Like, it's when Jesus says something, it's true. Like, if we say something, we try to make sure we speak the truth, like as if like we got to make sure like whatever I'm saying actually did happen. When God speaks, whatever he says is true. Like, it will happen because he said it. So the guy who had $20,000 he could just drop easily, like, that's not very significant power. When you think about it, Jesus has the power that whatever he says, he creates. I mean, that's more powerful than anything I can imagine. So when Jesus says something about us, it carries a lot of weight. And we need to pay attention to what he says. It's true, even if it wasn't true before he said it. Like, the fact that he said it now makes it true. So let's see what Jesus said about us in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Who is he talking to here? He's talking to a group of people that showed up to hear a message from him. You guys are a group of people that have showed up today at church, hopefully to hear a message from Jesus. The people, there wasn't anything special about the people he was talking to. They just were that, okay? And he says, you are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So here he says, let what I've put in you out, so that other people can see it and look at the effect it has on other people. He says, when you start letting my light out, it's going to change the way you act. And the way that you act is going to attract people to glorify me. Some people go around hitting a lot of people over the head and making a lot of people mad, and they say, I'm doing this because I'm a Christian. But Jesus says here, when my light's coming through you, you should be able to point to some people who are now glorifying me because of the stuff going on in your life. It's not that everyone's going to like you, but if you've been walking around shining Jesus' light for months and months or years and years, like, you should be able to point to people that, like, this guy is glorifying God now because he saw God in me. He saw God do something in me, and it made a difference. If you were walking around and you're like, well, I can think of a lot of people I made mad, but not a lot of people that changed, then I don't know that you're shining Jesus' light the right way, okay? So that's what we're going to be talking about today, about how do you be this light of the world. But it's interesting, Jesus didn't say be it someday. What did he say, Bob?
Well, he said, you are the light of the world. And last week we talked about some affirmations. And one of them that you could do, you get up in the morning, is say, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, obviously, Jesus is the big, giant light, but he has said to us, you are the light of the world. And you might be sitting there and say, well, Jake, that's your job. That's why you get a paycheck. And Bob, that's your job, because that's what you do. And you all are ordained, and you all are set apart, and you are. And I would like to just talk to you a little bit about lighting a fire, okay? So let's say we gave Jake a really big blowtorch. And he has one of these. It's got a big propane tank behind it, and it's got a hose, and it shoots, you know, it shoots a fire out pretty good. And we said to Jake, we want you to light a big fire in Independence. He goes, oh, goody, you know. And so he goes out and he starts with his blowtorch. Well, that's one way of doing it, but that's not God's way. God has given everybody here a match. And we can light a candle. And if all 300 of us or 350 of us took our match and our candle and we said, let's be as creative as possible to light a fire, we'd have a giant fire. Infinitely bigger than what Jake could do. Now, God's not in the destruction business. He's in the construction business. He wants to build things up. And so he has said to us, we are his light. He intends us to be his light into all the world in order that people can see what he is doing and glorify God. Glorify means to pull the covers off and to look and say, oh, that's what God's like. Okay, so flip me a slide and let's talk about Chris Weeks. So, all right, there you go. So I was running around with Chris Weeks on Friday. We were looking at a little project I've got at my house, and we had some barbecue together, and we spent a couple hours together, and we talked. And we talked about a whole bunch of stuff that was really a lot of fun and pretty good. But there are a couple of things I'd like us to talk about. One of them was I've got a guy who is a housing development, and he wants to develop a part of our community that's really a tough neighborhood. And I don't want to talk to him by myself because I don't know this community like the people sitting in the pews know this community. And I said, Chris, would you be up for a meeting with this guy? Now, Josh Patterson, you're going to get a call, too, for this. And so get a few of us together to eat a little piece of pizza or Mexican food or something and talk to this guy. So why do I want you all involved instead of me doing it? Well, here's why. This is a, the neighborhood he's talking about is a dark neighborhood. It's a difficult neighborhood, all right? And the only way you're going to fix it is not by fixing up the houses. In fact, I thought, you know, you can go paint those houses and carpet them and all that stuff. It would be like repainting the deck chairs on the Titanic as it's going down. You know, that isn't going to help. But you could, if you flooded the area with God's light, it could become a new place. And so, y'all got the picture? We are the light of the world, and as we penetrate communities, those communities change if we're bringing God's light, right? And if we don't, they stay the same. Just a little heads up, darkness should not be criticized because darkness is doing its job well. It's darkness is darkness, and it does that. Who do we criticize? The light for not penetrating the darkness and shining, correct? So that's one of the conversations Chris and I had. But the other one was, he was telling me about what he did in his neighborhood. So he was mowing the grass the other day, and he sort of got his mower over into his other neighbor's yard, and he mowed that yard. And then there was a guy across the street that was trying to mow a pretty tough yard with a pretty lousy mower, and Chris said, hey, why don't you use my John Deere? And he did that. But then the best one was, apparently you all have had some fun with your neighbors, and they now have no trespassing signs all along their yard. So he removed those trespassing signs. Of course, that's what you do when you're the neighbor. And he mowed his yard too. Then he put the no trespassing signs back like he hadn't been there. The next day, the guy came and pulled those trespassing signs up. Doesn't need them anymore. All right. So what's he doing? He is being the light that God sent him into the world. And I could tell you other stories about other people, but we'll stop with that, all right? We are the light of the world. And if you wake up in the morning and you say, I am God's best advertising man or woman into this world, and you choose to live that way, people are going to see God through you, just like Jake was talking about. So why don't you tell us another story?
Well, a big part about this, you are the light of the world, is to believe that God can actually use you. A lot of us, we have a lot of faith that Jesus can do awesome things, and we think God can do awesome things at Maywood, and we think our small group leader can do awesome things. But when it comes to us, we think, well, God can't do anything through me. And we just kind of limit God. And we might act like, oh, it's because I'm humble, or oh, it's because I know I just messed up 2 weeks ago. But the reality is, it takes faith to believe what Jesus told us today. We should believe the good things that Jesus said about us too. That Jesus can use you. That Jesus can shine through you in a way that gives light to the people around you. And if you will say no to whatever that little voice is inside your head, that evil voice that says you can't, God doesn't want you, you can't be used, if you will say, no, I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to believe what Jesus told me in Matthew 5:14. I'm going to build my life on what Jesus said, not on that little voice. Then Jesus can use you in awesome ways. So that picture I showed earlier with the goofy hair and, you know, that Jake Taylor, that was, I was 23 probably or so at that age. I didn't know how to cook like a decent meal. Like if you see the stuff I cook myself to eat back then, it's pretty, I don't know, not very appetizing looking. You know, I didn't know, I wasn't a good cook. If you saw some of the houses I built, like they were a little cockeyed sometimes and stuff. There were a lot of things I didn't know how to do when I was that old. There's still a lot of things I'm not any good at. I had a whole lot of flaws, and so my Spanish wasn't very good, and I wasn't very outgoing, and yet Jesus told me to go live in this other neighborhood and talk to people about him and try to help people. And if I had said, well, Jesus, I'm not very good at construction. How can I do a house ministry? Or, Jesus, I'm not very good at talking to people I don't know. How can I do this? Or, Jesus, I don't think you can use me. Send somebody else. Jesus wasn't saying, oh, I need a perfect person. Like, God already had a perfect person named Jesus. He already sent Jesus to do all the things that a perfect person needed to do. Like, the jobs that are still left to do are jobs that he has for us to do. And so that picture, to blow it out a little bit more, what else was happening in that picture That's Alfredo in the yellow and Maria Guadalupe in the white and their two kids, Alfredito and Juan Pablo in the back. So that family, I got the opportunity while I was down there with a group of about 20 high school students to build that little blue house for them. And then Peluche, who's taking that picture, right, who's standing behind the camera when that picture gets taken, Peluche was a Mexican guy down there I got really close with. We still talk on the phone a lot. Peluche and I went over there to visit them, and Peluche, like, God worked a miracle through Peluche to do, like, a miraculous healing for that family. And, like, they went from being real distant from God to real close to God. So the reality is, like, I didn't build the house. I had to ask for help from a bunch of kids even younger than I was to build the house. And I didn't heal the family. Like, God healed a baby of theirs. It wasn't through me, but it was through Peluche. But I had a part to play. Like, if I wasn't down there, they actually probably wouldn't have built this house. I don't think they would have selected this family. And if I wasn't down there working with Peluche, I don't think Peluche would have gone and prayed with this family. So I had a part to play in that. And when Jesus says you in the plural are the light of the world, Jesus is saying stop saying what you can't do and listen to me. Go where I tell you to go and do what I tell you to do with the people I put around you. And when you work together, then families are going to get changed in ways that you could never expect. And so God is holding that out for every single one of us here. And if you say, well, but, then you're making that choice. Jesus has done everything that has to be done for you to be the light of the world. And if you choose not to be, like, that is your choice. Like, Jesus has cleared all the things you couldn't clear.
So that's the good news. The good news is you are the light of the world. Here's the bad news. You can hide your light underneath a bowl, okay? And how does that happen? And I'm going to try to say this shortly, and I'm going to pull up this chair and sit on it so I'm not like some mean old bald Baptist preacher shaking my finger at you. So I've been walking through the neighborhood. A few people have made a big deal about that, and I appreciate that. I had six people the other day want to know, are you okay? Do you need help? I mean, I know it was mental health needs they thought I needed or if my car had broken down. But I was walking through the neighborhood. And I do. All of you that called me up, Justin Williams called me up. Amy saw you gone. Are you okay? Do you need help? And one of the little teenage girls came running up the street and said, my grandma will give you a ride. You know, it's okay. So I've now become the hero walker in the neighborhood. And that's really wrong. We all ought to have an idea about the neighbor. Here's what I've learned. If you drive and you park on our church parking lot, and you come in here and you have church, you get back in your car and you drive back home, you never see who's in our community. And it's very helpful for me to walk through this neighborhood and to know how many people I do not know. I've been the pastor here for 33 years. And in 33 years, I should know far more people than I know. But my normal way of getting here is I drive, I park, we do our stuff inside the church, and I go back home. Okay? How do we keep God's light underneath a bowl just like that? We come to church, we have a good time with our friends, we sing our songs, we think what a cool church Maywood is, and we let the rest of the world go to hell. Huh? And we believe that they're lost. And we believe that they need to know Jesus. Charles Spurgeon, great preacher in England, said, if I believe in hell, I cannot talk about it without tears in my eyes and a broken heart. So we come to church and we talk about it and we go back home and we live our lives. And so if we are going to be the light, we've got to crawl out from underneath the barrel, the bucket, the basket, and we need to go penetrate the community. All right? So let me take you another step. I'm going to make it really quick. In its historical context, probably the bowl or the basket that the light was put under was material things. And I would say one of the most damaging things that is done in the church today are people who say, I believe in Jesus, but they're not good with their money in a lot of different ways. And so you all know I buy people lunch when we go out, and Jake does the same thing. And sometimes I'm obnoxious about that, I realize. Let me tell you why. When I grew up in the church, preachers were like this. They always had the handout. You know, when you went out to lunch with the preacher, you bought. When you saw the preacher, he was going to ask you for money. And I hated that, okay? And that was another age when preachers weren't paid much. We get paid fairly well around here, so that ought to be different. But I just want you all to know, if you are living your life with your hand out and you're expecting somebody to do something for you, and by the way, you say, and I believe in Jesus, boy, you need to check that. Can I be fair? I'm going to tell you, I'm meddling. I've quit preaching. I've gone to meddling in your life. If you are lazy on the job and you're making your coworkers take up the slack that you're not willing to put out yourself on the job, hide your Bible. Don't, you know, let them think you're a beer salesman. You know, don't let them think that you're following Jesus, okay? Because you are a bad witness. I told Cassie, when you go to Inglewood Cafe and they see you praying, they need to get a good tip, all right? Or anywhere else you go. And so you all can fill in all the different other examples, but it's very, very important that when we say we're on God's side, we witness by how we work and how we give and how we're generous. You know, I could preach a whole hour on that, but flip the slide.
Okay.
All right. And Jake's saying, Bob, look at the clock. Shut up.
All right. This is good stuff.
So, all right. So let me just talk about something else. How you relate to the opposite sex is very much in the same way. How many people in the church have just snuffed the light out because they crossed the line with the opposite sex and they did stuff they never should have done? All right, enough said on that. How your mouth speaks is another one. I told the early service, I had really close friends. I'd go to their house and we did a lot of things together. And I was just being flippant and crazy one day, and I said something about the wife that I had no idea was true, but it was true. I talked about, it was not good. And it really was innocent, except my mouth should have been shut instead of being open. And in that instant, the candle went out. And I no longer had any authority ever again in their house, because my mouth got ahead of my brain and my heart. All right? So, I cannot say it enough, you are the light of the world. We, as a church, we are the light of this area. We have got to penetrate the community. And to do that, we've got to not let that bowl get over the light and put it out. Okay, Jake, why don't you be nicer than me?
No, you're good. So we read this passage. It says, let your light shine. Let people see the good things going on in your life, that they may glorify me. Now, it's interesting. If you read it all in its context, Jesus, in the same group of people he talks to, says, don't be showy in the way you help poor people. Don't be showy in the way you do all this other stuff that you do for God. But here he says, let your good deeds show that people can glorify me. So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to be secretive? Are we supposed to be really obnoxiously, like, look at me, look at the great thing I'm doing? Like, what are we supposed to be? And I think there's this tension between the two. And a lot of times when you read in the Bible, there'll be a truth here and a truth here, and there's some tension between the two of them. Like, how do I do both? And I had a mentor one time who told me, you know, if you have a rope and it's loose, like, you can't walk on it. But if you've ever seen, like, people walking in the park on those ropes or stuff like that, like, they do that, but they hold it tight between two different things, and there's tension, and you can walk on it. And when you see something in the Bible and you see there's a truth here and a truth here, what's the tension between the both? How do you abide by both? When Jesus says, don't be showy in the way you help people, check yourself with the good stuff you have done this last week. Like, did you do good stuff this last week that other people noticed? Did you bring it up in conversation? Did you put a spotlight on it and say, look at me, look how great I am? If no one was being around, and you knew no one was around, and you knew no one was going to find out about it, would you really have done the same thing you did? Like, you have to figure that out, you and Jesus. Like, why did you do what you did? But people figure that out too, people around you. It's really easy to spot someone who's trying to show off and someone who's just in love with Jesus. And they look totally different. And other people are going to see that. And by the way, if you're letting your light out, you're not always going to look cool when you're being obedient to Jesus. It might be you're letting your light out by you're apologizing for something that you said. Or you're saying something kind to somebody that's not being kind to you, and you don't feel tough, and your pride feels weak. So it's not always about looking great or looking benevolent. So I've talked way too long. Now I'm going, Bob. Sorry. So real quick, I want an example that you guys can look at if you want to look on our website of what does this look like when someone is just talking about or showing that they love Jesus and it's just coming out of them. So Amy and Mason had a video that we put up on our website. It's just a little interview of them talking about fasting. So they were here a couple weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we talked about fasting. And yeah, Mason, yep, there they are right there, like, oh, man. So if you watch this video, though, there's nothing about, like, oh, we're so cool. We did this thing, and we're really great people, and we're impressive. It was so hard, but we did it because we're so tough. Like, there's none of that attitude. There's this idea that there's just so much humility and so much excitement about Jesus. And so it's only like a 3 or 4 minute thing. You guys can watch it. But I think you've all seen that sort of stuff too. Like, you've seen it before when someone's just excited about God and they're talking to people about it. And so other people saw this on our website and they were inspired to do the same sort of stuff they were doing. They were inspired to fast or do other things. It's because it's so attractive when somebody loves Jesus and it's just gushing out of them. And so for you this week, think about, like, what do you need to do to have that sort of gushing love for Jesus? For Mason and Amy, they fasted, and that helped them get to that spot where Jesus was a priority for them that day. And whatever it might be for you, there's a way that you can be the light to the people around you. And you have to figure that out and say, God, how do I do it? Because I know every single person's room's got different gifts and different ways that God wants to use you.
And the bottom line is, do it. Figure out a way to penetrate where God has planted you and say, God, I'm going to light the biggest fire I can for you in that area. Okay, why don't you pray for us, Jake?
Yeah, so I always close with a blessing, a prayer. And like I said, I know a lot of you guys here, and I know different gifts that you have, but only Jesus really knows the way he wants to use you. I'm going to keep it real short. Just in the next 24 hours, I want to challenge you to spend time and say, Jesus, how do you want to shine through me? Ask him that question today, this afternoon. I'm going to pray a blessing that when you ask that, Jesus will tell you some way real soon, okay? Jesus, I thank you that you called us the light of the world, that you declared that about us. So Jesus, I pray for every single person in this room who reaches out to you today and says, Jesus, show me how to shine. I pray you would clearly tell them one thing they can do in the next 24 hours to shine for you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.